did. If you've brought a Bible with you, or if not, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. I encourage you to turn in the New Testament. It should read Acts chapter 4. That's where we're going to be focusing our attention this morning. And I want to read for you Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. If you turn to the New Testament, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the Acts of the Apostles, as Luke continues to write of all that Jesus continued to do after his death and his resurrection. And he proclaims to us the beginning days of the church and what God is doing there. But let me read for us from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. This is God's word. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. O Lord, we give you thanks this morning that we have before us your word, that we have it written down and in a language that we can understand. We are grateful for that and the history and the providential way in which it comes into our hands. But we thank you, Lord, and recognize that we need your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures, to apply it to our hearts, because we by ourselves know nothing, we have no understanding. And so I pray this morning, Lord, that you would work by your Holy Spirit in us, that you would open our ears, that you would soften our hearts, that you would help us to understand clearly what you have written here for our instruction, for our edification, for our encouragement, and that we would leave this place this morning different people than the people who came in, because you have been at work in us. And so we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word this morning, all to your praise and glory, for you are worthy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Some days are more important than other days, aren't they? Maybe you young people, as you think about the year that's before you, you think of those days and you think, oh yeah, it's my birthday. My birthday's coming up soon. And we focus on those particular days because it's a day that we love. It's a day that's important for us. Maybe it's our anniversaries of a wedding. Sometimes days become important because they're the anniversaries of a particular loss. But some days are more important than others, and we focus, we put emphasis, we put energy into those days. We're coming up to the anniversary of 9/11. That's become, in our generation, one of those important days. You know where you were. You know what you in particular went through on that dark and difficult day. In Haiti, it's January 12th, 2010. It's the day of the great earthquake in Haiti. And if you go to Haiti and if you were to ask people there, what does that day mean to you? It's one of those days that's at the forefront of people's lives. They knew where they were. They know how it was maybe that God miraculously saved them. They know how it was that God took someone from them in that earthquake. Everyone knows where they were. But we recognize too that when we think upon those kinds of dark days, it's also important what comes after. There's grief, there's suffering, there's a coming together with other people, but there's also recovery. There's also the grace of God in that. And so what comes after is important, and that's what's here in Acts chapter 4. It tells us about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The day of His resurrection, the most important day in the history of the world. And today, this Sunday, just as every other Sunday, we remember, we focus on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is Resurrection Sunday, our most important day, when we remember a real and historic event, Jesus Christ bodily rising from the dead. And we remember what it means for us, but how God worked through that resurrection to remind us that we have a hope. How God worked through that resurrection as the disciples proclaimed that message to build the church of Jesus Christ. Because everything that we are as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ flows out of His resurrection from the dead. That's what Peter and John knew. That's what they preached. That's why they suffered. That's why they were bold. Because they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead and that He was continuing to work because by His Spirit He was there with them. And that's what I want you to see this morning. That Jesus' resurrection is the basis for everything in the life of the church. Jesus' resurrection is the basis for everything in your life as you trust in Him. So I want you to see first that the basis of our preaching, is the resurrection. And we see here very clearly in Acts chapter 4 the message that the apostles preached. Couple Sundays a month when I'm in Haiti, I travel to the island of Lagunav. I go on Saturday, go down and wait at the wharf for the ferry to be loaded up, get on that boat, and in the afternoon, over about an hour and a half, travel over to the island so I can be there on Sunday to preach. And there's a man on that ferry. His name is Jonas. And I see him again and again because every voyage, both on Saturday as the ferry goes over, and when I come back on Monday morning, he's there on the ferry. And he comes. Sometimes he's got a megaphone. Sometimes he just has his loud voice. And Jonas is selling medicine. He's selling this cream that is going to help you. And if you listen to him, he would say that what he's selling can heal all of your bodily ills, can heal you of your sore shoulder. It can heal you of any soreness in your joints, any other illness that you have, basically. He is going to sell you this, and it's going to make you better. And whether or not that's true, though it is very doubtful, you can respect this man, Jonas, because he has one message and he preaches it, he speaks it to people again and again. And that satchel that's full of those little containers of cream, every voyage, by the end of the voyage, it's pretty much empty. But again and again, he speaks that one message. We too have a message, and it really is one message that we should be preaching again and again, just as Peter and John did, just as the early church did. Because as they came before the council, as they were arrested in those temple courts by the captain of the temple, who were greatly annoyed. They were annoyed. Why? They were annoyed because they were teaching, verse 2 says, the people, and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Their preaching and proclaiming was of a risen Savior, not of some great leader and guru long dead, but whose teachings we should follow, but a Savior who they had followed for 3 years, who they had seen crucified on a cross, whom they had buried in the tomb. But now they're proclaiming not just his death, not just his suffering, but they're proclaiming his resurrection from the dead. They said, "We've seen him. We know he is alive." And so the message they had, the center of what they were preaching, was Jesus raised from the dead. That's where they focused their message. And that's why they were arrested. Not because they were proclaiming, do good deeds, follow the Old Testament laws. No, they would have never been arrested for those things, but because they were preaching the resurrection from the dead. And lower down, we see more detail about that particular message that they were preaching. That the basis of all they were preaching was the resurrection of the dead. Down in verse 8, Peter has opportunity to reply to this group of leaders who are before them. And he, filled with the Holy Spirit, says to them, "Is it really about this miracle that we have done?" You probably know back in chapter 3 that they had been in the temple courts and this crippled man who was begging there was asking them for money. They had nothing. But they said, "What I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up, be healed." And the man was healed. It was a true miracle. Nobody could dispute that. But they knew that it wasn't primarily about that they had been arrested by the Sadducees and the other leaders. But it was because of Jesus Christ. "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel," Peter says, "that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well." They were saying to these leaders, the power that we have given by God comes because of Jesus Christ, because he has been raised from the dead, and we are witnessing to that fact. That's the message that we have, that Jesus is now raised, and that it's Jesus, the one whom you've rejected, who you tried to kill. It's because of that Jesus, he's now become the cornerstone. You see that in verse 11. This Jesus whom God raised from the dead, is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. The most important stone, the foundation of the church of Jesus Christ that God is already building. You remember again, right? This comes only days after God has sent His Holy Spirit, and the church is already 3,000, more than 3,000 strong. It's growing in leaps and bounds. Why? Because they preached this message, because they gave hope to people that the resurrection from the dead is real. And they knew that the basis of our faith and our trust is Jesus Christ. And that, verse 12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name, because there is no other Savior who has risen from the dead. We as Christians are the only ones who serve a God, who serve a Savior who has died and then been raised from the dead. This is the basis, the center of our preaching. There is no other name that can save. You see it in Haiti all the time. From their African roots and through all the years, the animistic religion of voodoo worships the spirits. And every one of that myriad number of spirits has a name. Some of them are named after Roman Catholic saints. Some of them come from Africa brought over by those slaves. Every spirit has a name, and they know the spirit who rules over the waters, the spirit who rules over the land, praying, giving sacrifices to them, hoping that they'll be protected, hoping that those spirits will give them success. But they cannot hear because they're crying out to a name that cannot help them. If only they would cry out to the name of Jesus Christ, He would save them. Because He is the one who has been raised from the dead, who now sits at God's right hand. And so the message of the resurrection that Peter and John preach, that message speaks of Jesus Christ raised from the dead, ascended into heaven at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, bringing us salvation. And what's the result? The result of that preaching here in Acts, we can go back to verse 4, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. We don't know exactly how many days after Pentecost this occurs, but now we go from 3,000 that God added to the number on that first day to 5,000 men, probably 10 or 12,000 altogether. The church is growing. Why is it growing? It's growing because they are preaching the message of the resurrection, and that is the focus of what they preach. The basis of our preaching is the resurrection. We should be preaching that same message every Sunday. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. We should be hearing about Jesus raised from the dead, that the bodily resurrection of Jesus is true, and because that's true, we too will be raised. It gives us great hope, doesn't it, in the midst of suffering around us when we hear of death. And in fact, the Apostle Paul, who has that same focus, the same message he preaches that the apostles preached about the resurrection, says that if Jesus is not raised, then our faith is in vain. But he knows it's not. Because the resurrection is true. All of the witnesses, the witness of the Scripture, the witness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we know that it's true. The basis of our preaching is the resurrection. But Acts chapter 4 tells us something else also, because this growth of the church, our own growth in grace, does not come easily, because the basis of our suffering also is the resurrection. It's suffering to glory. It's the cross and then the empty tomb. Jesus himself shows us that, doesn't he? All through the 3 years of his ministry, he suffers. He suffers under the dullness of his disciples who don't understand. He suffers under the rejection of the crowds who come and then go depending on what they think of his message and his miracles. He suffers under the betrayal of his close friend, Judas. He suffers bodily. He's crucified, handed over by his own people to the Romans that they hated. Jesus suffered, but then came the resurrection, then came the glory. And just like Jesus, Peter and John knew that they had to suffer first, that suffering was going to come. But they did it in the hope of the resurrection, and so for us as well. Because you see, again, as we read in verses 1 and 2, that the Sadducees came upon them. Why? Because they were greatly annoyed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They're strong words. You know, we kind of get annoyed, don't we, sometimes at our children if we're trying to do something that requires concentration and they're just making too much noise in the background. But this is stronger, isn't it, than that? It's great annoyance because they couldn't figure it out. They couldn't figure out, how do we silence these people? We thought we'd killed Jesus, and now he's coming back. They were greatly annoyed at them because they didn't believe in Jesus, but they didn't believe in the resurrection either. You remember that maybe back in Matthew 25, how the Sadducees come to Jesus with this, what they thought was a tricky question, to say, well, what about this woman who's had all these husbands? What happens in the resurrection? But it was because they didn't believe in the resurrection. But Jesus turns it on its head and says, you know what? Even the Old Testament, even the Pentateuch, what you believe to be the Scriptures, even there we see that the resurrection is true because we serve the God who is I Am. They're arrested and put in custody. This is how the apostles suffer. Yes, the church has grown. There's now 5, 10, 12,000 in the church, but these men have been called to suffer. They're thrown in prison merely for speaking the name of Jesus. Later on in the text, we see more of their suffering. In verse 17, it says, "But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they charged, they called them and charged them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. They say, we're going to put an end to this. We're going to silence these disciples of Jesus. That's the only way we can do it. And so the disciples suffer because they know that they cannot keep silent. They have to speak. But that speaking, that message, results in their suffering. We see it all around the world today, don't we? We see it in places like China. They try to silence people. They try to put them in fear. They say, well, if you decide that you're going to be a member of this church, it's going to be hard for you to get a job. There's all kinds of subtle ways that Satan tries to silence us, put doubt in our minds that the resurrection really can be true. How is that scientifically possible that someone who is dead can come back to life? Our experience, our experiments say it cannot happen. But the Bible says otherwise. The Word of God tells us different. And that's what the apostles knew, but it led to suffering. And indeed, down in 21, finally, as they send them off, they further threaten them. They let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. Of course, that's just the beginning of the story for them, isn't it? Because they are going to suffer. They're going to be beaten and flogged for their faith. Historical tradition says that every one of those apostles dies a martyr's death. They were willing to die to preach that message, to say to people, it is true, Jesus has been raised from the dead. They knew that it was true. And so what will be the result of our preaching? We should expect to suffer. Maybe not in the way that the apostles do, but we should expect to suffer for the gospel. Maybe it's our reputation. Maybe it's people saying, I don't want to be around you anymore. I don't want to hear anymore about that Jesus, about that resurrection. You're a fool to believe that. And in a sense, if we're not suffering for that gospel, particularly as the church, something's wrong. Maybe we've given up that message. Maybe we've watered it down. And so we need again every Sunday to point people to Jesus as the resurrected Savior. Because that suffering is our only hope. We suffer, but what comes next? Glory. Resurrection. Jesus raised first, and then us with Him. The basis of our preaching is the resurrection. The basis of our suffering is the resurrection. The basis of our boldness, thirdly, is the resurrection. The man that we met when we first came to Haiti, his name is Benah. And we didn't know Benah before he was converted, before he came to faith in Jesus Christ. But he is a vendor who sells souvenirs on the beach. We got to know him. We got to know a little of his story. And you could see in his eyes the joy that he had, that he really desired to serve the Savior. And he has a boldness in that sense. He doesn't have a problem speaking to people about Jesus. But we didn't know him before, but over the years we've talked to other people who knew Benah before he was a believer. And he was an angry man. He was a difficult guy to get along with. God took hold of him. He changed him by his Holy Spirit and now has given him a boldness that he would never have had before. Maybe a boldness to belittle Christians and those with faith. But now it's been turned around into something else. And I think people would have said the same of these disciples who had spent 3 years with Jesus. Boldness is an important word in the book of Acts. As you go through it, you see it various times, but here in verse 13 of our text, as we hear about what goes on before the Sadducees, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. They were bold. They weren't fearful of the power of these religious authorities. They weren't fearful that they might suffer. They were ready to suffer. They knew what they believed, and they were ready to proclaim it before even these religious leaders who supposedly knew all of the Scriptures. They may have been uneducated men, but they were educated in what was important. They knew the Scriptures. And they knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the one to whom all of those things pointed. And that it pointed to a suffering Savior who would then be raised from the dead. You see, they were uneducated, but before these men they had boldness because they had been with Jesus. You note what Luke says there? They recognized that they had been with Jesus. 3 years they had been with Him. 3 years. They were instructed. They were taught. They saw the example of Jesus before them. But now everything has changed. Because you remember, too, what happens, don't you, when Jesus is arrested. You would have hoped for boldness then. For them to stand up for Jesus. But instead, cowards, traitors, they run away. They fade into the woodwork. They don't want to be there. And then the resurrection happens. The Holy Spirit comes down. And it's the working of Jesus through His Holy Spirit that gives them their boldness, even before these Pharisees, massively educated. They have boldness. And their boldness, in fact, verse 14, silences these Sadducees. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. They had nothing to say. Isaiah chapter 52, the beginnings of the chapter on the suffering servant, reminds us that that servant and those who will proclaim his truth, so he, the servant, shall sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Now the disciples understand it. Now you can understand it because you have all of the Bible before you. And kings will shut their mouths because of him, because they proclaim the message of Jesus. Even these leaders shut their mouths. And they have to speak. Their boldness comes because of the working of the Holy Spirit, who gives a conviction that they have to speak the truth. They have to speak that Jesus has been raised. Their response to the charge, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. He said, you can do to us what you want. You judge as you see fit, but we know in our hearts, we know our conscience is held captive to the Word of God, and we must preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is their confession of faith. And the result is that all are praising God. They threatened them, but they couldn't really punish them. Why? Because all the people were praising God. Isn't it wonderful to see that as people preach the resurrection from the dead, as they are willing to suffer for it, as they express it in a boldness before people, others praise God, others believe that message. And of course, the result is, like we saw before, that more than 5,000 people were part of that church. We can praise God because out of that kind of boldness, that preaching of the resurrection, God does his work. How can we preach today? Well, we continue to preach that same message. And we are the extension of that New Testament church as we proclaim Jesus raised from the dead. And we can go all the way to the very end of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 28, verse 31. And it's kind of a curious verse, but it highlights for us our need again for boldness. Talks about Paul, and it says he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Last 2 words in the book of Acts, with all boldness, without hindrance. That's how we are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how we are called to live our lives as believers, with boldness, knowing that as Jesus was raised, we will be raised from the dead, without hindrance, knowing that there is no obstacle that can stand in the way of the working of the Holy Spirit. The church grows. The church is blessed. We grow in our understanding and faith when we center all that we know on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because that is the basis of all of our life, not just now, but of course of the life to come, the glories of heaven, the glories of being with our Savior face to face. That's what Peter and John knew. That's what I know. And that's what I pray that you will know and understand, that by faith in Jesus Christ, we believe and we proclaim the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we do pray now that we would be able to go from this place and take these words of your inspired scriptures, and apply them to our lives. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who not only reminds us and helps us to understand the scriptures, but he too helps to apply these things to our lives. We thank you for this church and the way you're growing our church. We pray that we might remain faithful to the message of truth that was proclaimed by the apostles and has been proclaimed by your church through the ages. And that as we are faithful in your strength, you might bless us, that we might be a blessing to the nations, to the community around us, and to every nation under the sun. For we are called to bring that message, that hope, that Jesus, our Savior, has been raised from the dead. So we pray these things in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen.